Welcome back to the Gridiron Pulse. We are here for episode 13 alongside my brother Carter. How you doing today, Carter?
Pretty good, man. It's Friday. Getting ready for the weekend. Getting ready to watch a lot of sports this weekend, so cannot complain.
I'm right with you on that one. It's been a pretty jam-packed week of sports. We got kind of a loaded schedule for the show tonight, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into it with something that happened on Wednesday night, I believe. Or no, it was Tuesday night, the draft lottery. The most rigged event in all American professional sports. This is the most ridiculous thing in the world. So obviously, as you guys probably know, the Dallas Mavericks jumped from picking 11th to picking at the number one spot after having a 1.8% chance of doing so. Just one of the most obscene things I've ever seen. It happened to the Hawks last year, so not too terrible, but of course it happened the one year where there wasn't like a surefire franchise cornerstone at the number one overall pick. Not gonna hate on my boy Zach. My boy Zach Risachet, but I mean, the fact that the year before it was Wemby and the year after is Cooper Flagg, is two of the best draft prospects in the modern era, is kind of disgusting. But before we get into it too much, I'm going to go ahead and rattle off some facts I got sitting here on my phone about the draft lottery. So, the odds of the top three picks in the NBA draft being Dallas, San Antonio, and Philadelphia in that order was a 0.0114% chance. And for some reason, the NBA kind of caters to these Texas teams for I don't really know what reason. And then Philadelphia's obviously got a huge market in the 76ers. So 1, 2, and 3 is Dallas, San Antonio, and Philadelphia. Over the teams with the three teams with the worst record in the NBA were it was Charlotte, the Wizards, and the Jazz. They will be picking 5th, 6th, and 7th. The three teams with the worst record. So they had the highest percentage chance to get the top three picks at 14% each. They will be picking at 5th, 6th, and 7th. And I don't actually have this one down, but I've read this one a bunch. The Utah Jazz have never improved their draft stock in the lottery, like even just going up by one. And they've also never had the number one overall pick in their history of the franchise. Just criminal for small market teams. It's just really bad. And then the last one I have here is all of the instances where essentially something happened that was either highly improbable or really shouldn't have happened whatsoever. 2008, Derrick Rose going to his hometown Chicago Bulls when they had a 1.7% chance to win the lottery, number one overall. 11, the Cavaliers getting the number one overall picks the year after LeBron James left. 2012, the Pelicans getting the number one pick after the Chris Paul trade, after they traded away Chris Paul. 2014, the Cavs getting the number one overall pick again to give them assets needed to bring Kevin Love to Cleveland and to form the original, or I guess the Cleveland's original big three with Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love. 2019, the Pelicans got the number one overall pick again after trading Anthony Davis that year before. And then 2025, Dallas Mavericks getting the number one pick after trading Luka Doncic to everybody's favorite team. Because if it's not, then you're just wrong. The Los Angeles Lakers. Would love to hear your thoughts, comments, and concerns.
So just to start off, This is one of the prime examples on why the NBA ratings are keep going down every year, is because the NBA wants to cater to these big market teams like the Texas teams, Boston, LA. There's no like competitive balance in the NBA, because all these teams that form super teams will always beat down on like the Hawks, for example, because they don't have nearly a team as like the Lakers or like the Celtics, any of these big name teams that have, you know, 2-3 superstars on one team, it's unfair. The NFL does the draft so well. I still don't know why there's a lottery system in the NBA, because I mean, if I'm a Hornets fan, I'm mad as hell, because this has been what, like 5 straight years in a row they've had a top 5 lottery pick, and it hasn't been anywhere close to the number 1 overall pick. So you're basically just in purgatory for you've been in purgatory for years. I mean their last great pick was LaMelo Ball, which I think he was at like 2 or 3. I forgot where the Hornets.
2 or 3, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you get shafted on Wimby, you get shafted on Cooper Flagg. I mean, and you got shafted in last year's draft, even though there wasn't a big name player like Wimby or Cooper Flagg, which going on the Hawks, that's the most Hawks situation that ever happens to them. Get the number 1 overall pick and there's not a like bona fide superstar. I mean, no disrespect to Zach Richesse. I think he's gonna be a stud.
We think he's gonna be really good. We like him.
Yeah. We're not talking shit about him. We're just saying that, like, of course it's like Zach Richesse is nowhere near like a big name like Wimby or Cooper Flagg, but besides the point. But I swear, I think like Adam Silver, like he almost like felt bad for Dallas for being so dumb for trading away Luka, which is still just one of the worst trades I've ever seen in my life. Because, you know, imagine Luka, Kyrie, and Cooper Flagg. That is disgusting. A tandem. That is absolutely nasty. And for Dallas to trade away their young superstar and then get the number 1 overall pick for a bona fide, like, just absolute stud player in Cooper Flagg is everything that's wrong with the NBA today. I feel so bad for all these small market teams, like you said, like Charlotte, Washington, Jazz. I mean, the Jazz haven't been good since they traded away Mitchell and Gobert. I mean, the Wizards haven't been relevant since John Wall, which was like 2010.
They weren't even that good with him either. They were able to win games. That's it.
I mean, hell, like, even I remember they played the Hawks when the Hawks went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's probably like the only time that they've been relevant with Bradley Beal. But the NFL does it completely right. I don't understand some of these analysts that are like, oh, like the NFL should go to a draft lottery. It's like, well, if you're like the Raiders, like, for example, if you're the Raiders and you go, if you have the worst record in the league and then somehow, some way the Chiefs win the lottery and get the number 1 overall pick, that's terrible. I mean that's awful. I mean, no team or no one wants to watch, you know, like again, for example, like Dallas trading away their young superstar and getting Cooper Flagg. It, like, no one wants that. Everyone wants competitive balance in these leagues. NBA is the worst at it, and then second is the MLB. But kind of just to wrap it up, I've never been a fan of the lottery, even though the Hawks won it last year. But, you know, fun fact, the Hawks actually had a better chance to get the number 1 overall pick last year than Dallas, or I think even like the top 3 teams this year, the Hawks had a better chance to land it last year. But I mean, San Antonio, I guess I'm like fine with Dallas getting it, because I mean the Spurs already have Wimby, and it would have been just the most unstoppable duo ever. Wimby and Cooper Flagg. I mean, like, I don't know.
De'Aaron Fox, too.
Sixers, yeah. The Sixers, I mean, I'll probably say it a few times on the next couple of shows. I absolutely hate Philly sports. Always hated them. Always will hate them. But, you know, I feel like for once in my life, I feel bad for them, because they actively tried to tank and they didn't even get at least the number 2 overall pick, let alone the number 1 overall pick, because I mean their whole team was hurt. But Dallas, I don't I don't hate it, or I hate it. My bad.
Yeah.
But
it is a tough, tough look for some of these smaller market teams like the Jazz, DC, and the Hornets. It's like you can't win. Like you literally can't win games in the NBA, and it's like you can't win in the lottery no matter how hard you tank. I mean, the fact that the Jazz have never improved their draft selection in the lottery in their entire team's history is wild. Like, it's not asking for much to improve. There's like 6 or 7 teams that improved their draft stock in the lottery this year, and the Jazz just continue to get screwed over.
That's absolutely embarrassing from the league. I mean, that's just awful. I mean, literally, the Jazz, like, best players, Lowry Markkanen, which, no offense to Lowry Markkanen, but that's not a dude that you build your team around. You build your team around Cooper Flagg or Wimby, some of these, you know, big-name prospects. Just
we're gonna
terrible.
Transition over to football here. Talk about our hometown Falcons. I like that hat. It's a nice little hat right there. Let's see if I'm going to share
it. If you like it, I'll send you the link for it.
Nice. All right. I've got my screen shared over here. So the NFL schedule has obviously been released. The Falcons did a Mario Kart-themed video, which I actually thought was super cool. I loved it.
One of the best
Definitely,
ones.
Yeah, besides, it was one of the better ones,
the Colts.
Sure. Yeah, the Colts. The Colts one was funny, arresting Tyreek Hill. That was great. All right, so we're going to go through here. We're going to do a little exercise. So we're going to predict the Falcons' record off of this schedule. Now, I am too. We have, like, middling rank strength of schedule. I think it was, like 17th or 18th easiest schedule. So we're kind of right in the middle there. We have to play the AFC East and the NFC West this year. So, week one, we open the season home versus Tampa Bay. What are we thinking here?
So, I like that we're opening with a division opponent. I would much rather play, you know, especially Tampa Bay, I'd much rather play him early in the year. So,
I like that we get him
at
home too. Yeah.
Yeah, home opener, should be loud, should be sold out crowd. I'm going to go with the Falcons W here. I think they take care of business and start off 1-0 in the division.
I absolutely agree with that one. For division rivals, you almost have to kind of say that you're going to split, at least for an easier prediction. So I feel like splitting with the Bucs is a pretty big W considering they've won the division the last 4 years in a row. Some other teams like the Panthers and the Saints, I wouldn't be surprised if we sweep one of those, but we seemingly always lose a game to the Panthers, which is just weird. But we have this is going to be JJ McCarthy's second start as the Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback. So this is also a national championship rematch between Michael Penix and JJ McCarthy at Minnesota Vikings, Sunday Night Football. I think we come away with this one as a win. Just Michael Penix having a little bit more experience than JJ McCarthy is not saying much because he only started 3 games last year, but still, like, being there and having done at least something on an NFL field is better than who's going to have 1 game of experience.
Yeah, this is one of those games that's a toss-up, in my opinion. I mean, granted, you know, like you said, I'm pretty sure this is J.J. McCarthy's home opener, because I think the Vikings start out on the road. I think they play at the Bears, I think. I don't know, they start on the road somewhere, but I think J.J. is going to be nervous. I mean, this is his rookie year since he was hurt all last year. So I think this is a toss-up. You know, like I said, JJ's home opener, rematch of the Natty from a few years ago. I think Penix gets his revenge on JJ McCarthy. I think the Falcons win on a game-winning field goal.
I agree with that one. I like it. Starting off
very
the
hostile.
Year,
yeah, what's very that? Hostile environment too.
Yeah. That'll be a good game for sure. I'm glad we got Sunday Night Football for that. That's going to be quite the showcase of some pretty awesome young quarterbacks, hopefully. And then we go to Carolina. So, I mean, I just kind of hinted at this one. We always seem to lose some fluky game to Carolina. So it's easier to pick the one where we're away at the Panthers. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that I think this is our first loss of the year.
I am going to be on the other side. I think, you know, Panthers fans have been talking really crazy on Twitter about, the one game where Bryce Young did something and where the Falcons defense basically gave up after Tampa Bay beat New Orleans. I think this is the game where, you know, the Falcons shut all the Carolina fans up, and I think I'm going to go bold. I think Atlanta routes Carolina.
Nice. I would love to see it happen. All right, next one, we got home versus the Washington Commanders. Played them last year toward the end of the year, kind of an instant classic there between Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix. I think this is a big-time revenge game, considering we lost in overtime to them last year. The game was actually on my birthday. It was a super sad ending to that day. Some primetime game, either Sunday or Monday Night Football, and then we lost in overtime. So I'm going to go ahead and give us a win for this one. Have us starting 3-1 before the bye.
Cool. Like I said, I agree with you. I think this is going to be one of those revenge games. I think Raheem Morris, call your timeouts. You have them. Like you said, I think this is a revenge game. I think Raheem Morris finally gets his head out of his ass and uses his timeouts when needed. I think, I want to still say that Ku is still the starter, but I don't know with the kicker that they brought in, who's apparently a beast.
German guy, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he's a rugby player. I think he might be a rugby player.
So they got some kind of different rules, football, but still kick ball hard, far, in Germany. he's got that Brett Thorson that, I know he's not European, but it's kind of the same
Aussie
thing. Yeah.
I think, again, this is one of my favorite games on the Falcons schedule, just obviously from last year's game, even though it ended in heartbreak. But I'm going to agree with you, Jacob. I think the Falcons find a way to get revenge on that game from last year, a game that they should have won. I think they're up a couple scores and ended up losing in overtime, which was very, very unfortunate because they needed that game really bad to go to the playoffs last year.
So I got us 3-1 before the bye, and you got us at a staunch 4-0 before the bye week. I love that. One thing I don't love about this schedule is this week 5 bye week. I'm a big proponent for a late bye week, especially for what we would hope and pray and dream as a playoff team. I really would have liked it after this Germany game, because not having a bye week after going international is just wild. I don't know how that even happened, but
I have a comment on this. I think the Falcons had the choice to do the bye week after Germany, and of course, being the Falcons and falconing already in mid-season form, they took a chance on the bye. They declined the bye. I'm pretty sure they declined the bye after the Germany game and basically, like, quote-unquote, rolled the dice and then just got probably the worst bye week ever in week 5. So, already in mid-season form are the Falcons, so I wanted to add that note.
That was ridiculous. I thought I read something like that, but I was like, there's just no way that's true, right? Like, why are you going to decline? Moving on. Week 6, we got a home game, Monday Night Football, against the Buffalo Bills. So I will say, I'm just going to throw that out there, the only other NFL team I have any sort of allegiance to is the Buffalo Bills, being that my family is from Buffalo, New York, at least half of them is. So, I mean, the Bills are, at this point, a perennial powerhouse. I think Jalen Walker is definitely going to be able to help QB spying Josh Allen, so maybe he doesn't run for 175 yards and throw for 275 yards. But he still probably racks up about 4 total touchdowns in this game. I'm going to give us a loss to Buffalo right here.
Yeah, this is where I have the Falcons having their first loss. Monday Night Football in Mercedes-Benz is going to be an electric. I would imagine it would be more Bills fans there than Falcons fans, just because, I mean, I don't really have to state the obvious, but I'll just state it anyways. The Bills fans travel everywhere, so I would not be surprised at all if it's like 60-40 Bills fans there. So,
yeah.
Of course, Josh Allen winning MVP last year, absolute beast. I think he's just a machine. I like the Falcons defense getting after him, especially with Jalen Walker, but I just think, you know, Josh Allen, he's gonna make a lot of plays. I think the Bills are gonna win a very close game, I will add. I think it'll be a great game too.
Very close. Yeah,
I think they're either gonna win by a field goal or a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. So I have the Falcons taking their first L of the season here.
Yep. All right. Kind of agree on that one. I mean, Josh Allen gonna Josh Allen at the end of the day. Dude's an absolute freak. And then the week after, we got Sunday Night Football going all the way out to San Francisco 49ers. So this is a tough one to pick for me because the Niners obviously had a down year last year. They went 6-11. And I don't really see that happening again. But I think the Falcons are going to go out to San Francisco and do them up. They're going to put in some work. And I have the Falcons winning this game at San Fran. Can I change my answer?
No, man, you already picked. No, I'm just joking, but No, I just think with the short week coming off Monday Night Football and having to travel across the country for a Sunday night game, I think that's going to play a real factor. And I will say I'm not very high on the 49ers this year. They lost a ton of pieces on defense, so I think they're going to be worse on defense than they were last year. Still like Brock Purdy, still like their weapons on offense, even though, again, they lost Debo, which, I mean, he hasn't really been that productive the past few years. Ayuk's a question mark coming off an injury. Still have George Kittle, who's one of the best tight ends in the NFL. I think he'll have a really big game in this game. And then, of course, we get to play Georgia boy Mykel Williams, so we'll see how offensive line stacks up against him. But I just think, you know, with the short week and having to travel across the country, I think this is going to be another loss for the Falcons. Even though I still think this will be a close game. I think this will be at least a one-score game, but I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers won by like 10 points in this game. But,
yeah.
Loss.
Yeah, that one could go either way. I'm not going to change my answer. I like us there. I think they lost a lot of pieces. I mean, they had that Super Bowl team a couple years ago. Those guys are starting to age out a little bit, but, I mean, still got cornerstones like Fred Warner, Brock Purdy, and then I guess Ayuk on the outside if he's back healthy and playing. But yep. I am going to kind of switch it up here. Originally, when I was looking at the schedule, I kind of chalked this one up as a W, but I think we're going to have a hard time handling the Dolphins' speed. We're just going to go out on a limb and say Tua is healthy for this game and hasn't gotten concussed for the 87th time this season yet. So I'm going to say that's a loss at my, no, it's home, but I think we're going to lose that one. So I got us at 4-3 after this week.
I only need one answer for this one. Tua turned the ball over. Falcons W.
Love it. Love it. So you're at 5-2. I'm at 4-3. Kind of a little sneak peek here. I think we do go on a run here in this middle part of the schedule.
This is the easier part of the schedule.
This is where it gets a little bit easier. So we're going to start that off with at New England. I don't think the Patriots are quite there yet. I think they have a really good young core and a great coach and obviously a great quarterback. I don't think he's going to be great yet, and I don't think he's going to be great in this game. So I got Falcons winning this one. kind of handily, I think.
Yeah, you know, going up to New England close to winter weather is not going to be fun. It's going to be freezing cold there in November. I feel like that could be, not saying that the Falcons are going to lose, but, you know, I would not be surprised. Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if the weather's a huge factor and it kind of throws the Falcons off for a little bit, even though Penix played in at Washington where it rains damn near the entire year. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those like trap games where the Falcons lose. I would prefer to not be the Patriots because, you know, that one game a few years ago. But I think the Falcons take care of business. I think they are going to beat the Patriots, even though the Patriots are going to be on the come up in the next few years, sadly.
Yeah, they got a great young core for sure. I just don't think they're quite there yet. Probably a year away from being like perennial powerhouses again, like we unfortunately know them to be. This is a weird one. 9:30 a.m. in Germany. The Indianapolis Colts. I just pray to God that Anthony Richardson is still the starter by then. Because honestly, it don't really matter. They just got white Anthony Richardson as the backup. I mean, I think the Falcons wiped the floor with the Colts here, leaving Pat McAfee sad.
This is going to be a controversial take. I think the Falcons always have one of those games where they should win and they end up losing a fluke-ass game. I think this one and then one more that we're kind of close to, I think those are going to be the two games where the Falcons slip up and lose a team that they shouldn't. I'm not really going to say that, you know, going to Germany is going to be a huge factor. I just think, you know, the Falcons aren't going to take the Colts seriously. I think Anthony Richardson, if he is in fact the quarterback, I'm basing this prediction off if Anthony Richardson is the quarterback, which that's up in the air depending on his play. But I think this game is going to be one of the games that the Falcons have a fluke game and lose to a team that they shouldn't. I don't think the Colts are a very good team. They have a lot of holes, even though they added a bunch in free agency. But I think they are going to let Anthony Richardson do whatever he can to this defense. It's bear with me, but it's the Falcons always have these type of games every year, and I would not be surprised in the slightest if they lose to the Colts. So I am going to go on a controversial take, and I think that they are going to lose this game.
Right. And we got the stupid Panthers at home. I hope we beat the ever-loving breaks off of them. I say Falcons by 75.
Bryce Young is a midget. Falcons W.
Oh, yeah. W. I am keeping track of this. We can go through it at the end.
I don't want to see that stupid-ass gif of him turning around throwing that touchdown anymore.
He's so gay. I know I usually say, I said that we usually split with division rivals. I'm just going to go ahead and say I have a sweeping the Saints this year. They're going to be absolutely god-awful. The Saints are terrible. Terrible franchise. Terrible team. Terrible quarterback. Terrible defense. Falcons by 40.
Hey, man, that's 25-year-old Tyler Shuck you're talking about.
He's actually some respect. He's 26.
God, that's even worse. I thought he was 25. Okay, yeah, nah. Falcons by 1,000 in both games. Yeah. I don't even have to predict the last game.
I know. All right, at New York Jets, Justin Fields sucks. Falcons by 40. Hate Justin Fields. Always have, always will.
Again, this is the game that I referenced to during the Colts game. The Falcons... Bear with me. The Falcons, for whatever reason, every time they play Justin Fields, he does whatever he wants, and he ends up beating the Falcons.
Dude, they beat us last year by kicking 5 field goals. Come on. That was Chris. Again, we got beaten by Chris Boswell last year, not Justin Fields.
Again, this is one of those games where the Falcons don't take the Jets seriously, even though they're a terrible team. They're not going to take them seriously, and I think the Falcons are going to lose this game. It's one of my hotter takes this year. It's one of those fluke games that they should not lose.
Tough. I think going up to, no, this is at home. I don't know why I keep getting the home and away confused, because it clearly doesn't say at right there. I just can't read. But we're going to go. We got home Seattle Seahawks. We got crushed by them last year. I want to say this is a revenge game, but I'm just going to sound like a homer and have the Falcons going like 15-2. I think we'll, this is a tough one. I think we lose this game. Sam Darnold continues on his excellence from last year. Sam Darnold carved us like a Thanksgiving turkey last year. I think he'll do likely the same with less weapons, but I have us taking a loss here.
I have the Falcons taking a W this game. I am not big on Seattle at all. I think they're going to be pretty mid-team next year. I mean, all they have for weapons is Smith and Jigba, and then old man Cooper Kupp. So I'm not too worried about their weapons. The only weapon I am worried about is Kenneth Walker, because I think when he's healthy, he's one of the more underrated running backs in the league. And I think Charbonnet is a really good short yardage running back. Their running backs are really the only weapons that I fear on the Seahawks. Their defense is actually like pretty decent. I will say. I think they have a lot of young talent on there, especially with their draft that they had. Adding a bunch of pieces on defense and then bolstering up that offensive lines. But I think the Falcons are going to get a ton of pressure on Sam Darnold, which if you've never seen Sam Darnold play, he always folds under pressure whenever he's getting like bull rushed. So I think that's going to be the plan of attack for Sam Darnold, and I think the Falcons come out with the W in this game.
Like that. I'm not very high on the Seahawks either. I just don't want to have the Falcons winning 17 games. All right. Hey man, we're Tampa. Home. We're at Tampa, Thursday night football. I got this down as another loss. We're going to go through a little skid here. It's a tougher part of our schedule towards the end. Primetime game, Thursday night football. Sounds a lot like what happened last year. We had an instant classic against Baker and the Bucks on Thursday night. I'm pretty high on Tampa. They've got great weapons, great offensive line, and a above-average defense. I mean, it's going to be between us and them to win the division for sure. I mean, this would be a nice one to steal from them late in the season. I don't think that's how it's going to go, though.
Yeah, I have us splitting against Tampa Bay. I think this is going to be the game that they lose. Short week going from Sunday to Thursday game. Even though that really didn't bother, or I can't remember if we went from a Sunday to a Thursday night game last year.
Pretty sure.
Probably, but yeah. I think this, again, division games are always tough. They're always a coin flip. It doesn't matter how awful a team is. I mean, hell, I'm not gonna put this negative energy out there, but hell, I mean, the Falcons could easily go 0-2 against New Orleans for what reason? I have no idea, because I think they are the worst team in the league this year, but besides the point. But I think even though we swept Tampa Bay last year, still somehow lost the division, which is so irritating. But yeah. I think Tampa will get the W in the rematch.
Yep. I agree with you on that one. Or wait, you have... Yeah. Never mind. So then we go to Arizona with kind of an extended rest from playing on Thursday to playing on Sunday. I think this is our bounce back game for sure. I think we can handle the little midget Kyler Murray running around like a little baby that stole candy from someone in the store, and he just like... just running around like crazy. We're going to have Jalen Walker on a QB spy the entire game. I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is all that in a bag of chips. Is he good? Sure. Is he like otherworldly amazing talent? No, I don't think so. That is Jeremiah Smith. But I have us bouncing back here, pick up our 10th win of the year at Arizona.
I have the Falcons taking a W here, but I want to say one of my hotter controversial takes for next year is I think Arizona will battle the Rams for their division next year. I'm really high on the Cardinals this year. I think they had a really good draft. I think the pieces that they signed in the offseason is really going to help them. I'm higher on Kyler than most people are. I think when he has a lot of protection, he doesn't have to run around and do all that running in the backfield. I think whenever he doesn't do that, I think he's a really good quarterback. Marvin Harrison Jr., he had a down year for a rookie, based on where he was picked at. Again, I just think I don't really look too much into that, just because I just think it's a rookie playing his first year. I think he's going to get better over time. So I think the Cardinals are going to battle the Rams for the NFC West division this year. Very high on the Cardinals, very high on the Rams. So I think it'll be a dogfight in that division. But I do think that, you know, with the extended rest coming off the Thursday night game, I think the Falcons take care of business in Arizona and beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Would love to see it happen. All right, next game, home versus the Rams. This game's on my birthday, so it's a coin flip for me, but I'm obviously going to say that we win this game for the sole fact and reason that it is being played on Monday Night Football on my birthday, and I would love to go. Dad, if you're listening.
Hey man, I would love to go to the game with you.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, like I said before, I'm really high on the Rams. I think they're one of the more, I guess it's tough because people rank the Rams pretty high, I think, but I think they are one of the more underrated teams in NFL. I think obviously with Sean McVay, they're going to be a really explosive offense. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is, doesn't matter who the weapons are. Sean McVay is an absolute offensive master. So, you know, they got rid of Cooper Kupp in offseason, bring in Davante Adams, which I think even with Davante Adams is basically on his like last leg of his career, I still think he's serviceable. I think Stafford's going to do a good job getting him and Puka the ball. I think they're going to have pretty good numbers this year. Because, I mean, I honestly cannot tell you who their tight end is, which has been probably their biggest need on offense for the past few years as a tight end. But, you know, besides the point. But I think this is going to be a dogfight. I think This I would not be surprised at all in the slightest if this turns out to be a game that decides the playoffs on like who gets in, who doesn't get in. I would not be surprised at all. I do think that this game, even regarding all that stuff I just said, I do think that this game is going to decide playoff seeding. I think the Falcons are going to come out here with a W. I think it's going to be a dogfight. You know, I can't... I love rooting for my boy Stafford, but during this game, I will be rooting hard for the Falcons to kick your ass. So give me the Falcons in a dogfight.
Yeah, hopefully we get to his old ass about 12 times in the backfield. It's not likely, but
still,
if anything, we would like to see some pressure on the quarterback this year. I do like rooting for the Rams. I've always pulled for Matthew Stafford, but I agree with you. I think Falcons W on the birthday, that would be sick. And then last game, doesn't even have to be said, home against the Saints, we will win this game by 75 points.
Yeah, no comment here. Falcons by a million. Saints are terrible.
So we took several different routes to get there, but according to the napkin, we both ended up at 12-5.
Hey man, I'll take it. I think,
dude, yeah.
I do think that the Falcons should at least win double digits with this schedule.
Gotta
I think,
hit 10 games. Gotta hit 10 games.
I would be perfectly fine if the Falcons win double-digit games, but it's like 11, 10 wins. Because I still think, hell, even I think 9 games wins the NFC South this year.
Maybe if we sweep the Bucks again. I think that might be a stretch, though.
I don't know. It's a poverty division.
I like 12-5. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of high on the Bucks, though. I think they got a chance to make a run for sure. But I wish they weren't in the division, but they are. I think we're going to have trouble covering their receivers. I mean, they have like 8 starting wide receivers, and we have like 2 starting corners. So
it's always fun to see Baker Mayfield fail. I hate that dude.
Yeah, that would be funny. All right, we're going to have a little interesting topic here. This Caleb Williams article that came out yesterday. Apparently, I mean, I feel like we kind of knew this a little bit at the time, but like the Bears were so bad, like who would want to go to the Bears? So the whole synopsis of this article is Caleb Williams comes out and says that, well, first of all, he comes out as gay. Second of all, this article comes out and says that he did not want to go to the Chicago Bears with the number one pick between like him and his parents and all this kind of other mess going around. But like, Chicago got a Pope before they got a 4,000-yard passer. So that might end this year, but still got the Pope. They got the Pope before. But this article was very strange. He mentioned that he has no idea how to watch film. Honestly, not totally shocked on that. The way he just held the ball last year and just he took like 40-some sacks, which is terrible. But I'll let you take this one from here.
If you go on ESPN's website, the title is really clickbait.
Yeah.
Even though it was explained in the article that on the pre-draft visit, Caleb and his parents didn't want him or didn't want to go to the Bears. Because I'll just say the elephant in the room. Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. I mean, they haven't had. A 4,000-yard pass, or 4,000-yard passer in their franchise history, which is just pathetic. But, you know, just to kind of just sum it up here, it's basically an article that, you know, like I said, Caleb didn't want to go to Chicago. His parents didn't want him to go to Chicago. They were wanting, or Caleb was going to do something that he would prevent if he was like when he would get drafted by the Bears that he would you know prevent
you know, Eli the Bears from signing him or whatever.
Yeah, basically. But you know, it's explained in the article that, you know, despite the clickbait title, he ended up really wanting to go to Chicago so that he could be that corner piece to turn the franchise around, which I think he will. I'm very high on the Bears this year, but you know, it's a very interesting article. I mean, we both saw all those rumors before the draft that he didn't want to go to Chicago, so I'm not really surprised at all that this article came out.
Yeah, and we'll just have a quick little synopsis of what we've missed in the NBA playoffs. Timberwolves in 5, Ant-Man, Superman, Batman, it don't matter, T-Wolves in 5. Curry was out, never played again after game 1. Played 13 total minutes in the series. If he's in, does that series outcome change? I don't know if the outcome changes. I think T-Wolves still win, but it's probably in 7, and it's probably still going on right now, which would kind of be electric, but I'm glad Ant-Man got the dub. OKC and Nuggets just had a game last night in which the Nuggets forced a game 7, so that'll be played on Sunday, right in the middle of the PGA Championship. Great scheduling, ESPN. You suck. Jason Tatum tore his Achilles in the Celtics when they were down 3-2, and then... No, they're...
Down 3-1.
Yeah, they were down 3-1.
They won.
Yeah, and then they won a couple days ago, and then that's game 7, right? No, that's tonight. Game 6 is tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're down 3-2 right now. And game six is tonight. Would that be in MSG or is that in Boston? It's in MSG. If the Knicks are going to close it out, they better do it tonight.
Yeah, because if they...
I don't think they win on the road.
If they don't win tonight, it's GG's. The Celtics are winning.
Celtics have a good enough team, good enough roster without Tatum to go ahead and take that series for sure. And let's go over here to, if you'll see, I'm back wearing my Braves hat. I wanted to kind of put this out there that I'm only going to wear this hat if we are 500 or better from now on. So the Braves are sitting at 22-22. We just took 3 out of 4 from the Nationals, which is great. You're supposed to do that. And they actually looked like a baseball team. So that was cool. I really liked watching that. And then we got a series versus the Red Sox, which is tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. So also, I'm wearing the full kit. We got this in that game that you and I went to.
Yeah, I was about to say, I recognize that shirt. I had the same one hanging up in my closet.
Matty Obarnes. Still,
got to turn still it around,
one lucky player in baseball, still playing like complete dog shit. But someone that we were kind of trashing on in the last episode, Ozzy, had a great series. Thank you. I'm going to start talking shit about more players because it's going to mean that they're going to do well.
Yeah, he listened to our podcast episode about
absolutely.
How he
either switch to righty or just go. Get out. the Red Sox have the same record as us. They're 22-22. A couple of teams fighting for 500 or better. I really hope we do this. We take this series at least 2-1. One of my good friends is a Red Sox fan, and he actually works for the Boston Red Sox. So, John, you're not going to have this one. This one's ours.
So great series win for the Braves against the Nationals. Should have done a 4-game sweep, but the bullpen blew the game on Wednesday, which is very frustrating.
It's a bummer that guy's still on our team.
Yeah, I could go into a snit rant about that game, but I'm not going to. I've said it numerous times.
He's sleeping on the sidelines.
moving on to Boston. This weekend is technically considered rivalry weekend, which makes zero sense why the Braves are cross conference rivals with the Red Sox. I guess
just
you could say
the Boston Bean Eaters back in the day, dude. They didn't how many beans we were eating.
Yeah, I guess you could say the Boston Braves, which again makes no sense, but you know, besides the point. But Chris Sale on the mound tonight against Garrett Crochet. I unfortunately have us losing this game. I think Garrett Crochet is an absolute stud of a pitcher. With how the Braves offense has been very inconsistent, I think Crochet throws a gem tonight and Braves end up losing. But I do think the Braves are going to take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. Grant Holmes versus Giolito. I like Grant Holmes. And then Spencer Schwalbach against Brian Bello, which I like Brian Bello. I think he's a really underrated pitcher. But I think Schwalbach is due for a game where he only gives up a few runs instead of like 3-4. So I like the Braves. Saturday, Sunday, having us losing tonight. But taking 2 out of 3, and then hopefully completing a sweep in Washington during the week.
Yeah, that would be nice. I like this kind of area that we're at with our schedule. We get Washington, Boston, then Washington again.
I'm going to call you off, but side note. Strider is going to be pitching in the Washington series. Snicker confirmed that yesterday, which is fantastic. And then Acuna is still on his rehab assignment, which he had a monster game last night for Gwinnett. I think he was
2 for 3 with a double and a single.
Yeah. I did hear that he did kind of have some defensive issues, which I'm not worried about at all. He's still trying to get up to game speed. I don't think he's really trying all that hard in AAA. I think this is more of just a ramp up for the big leagues. However long it takes, I'm fine with. I don't want to see Acuña injured again. I don't care what part of his body is. We need that man healthy. We need that man playing every day. So take all the time you need, Ronnie. We will be excited to have you back.
Yeah, within our last episode, we didn't even know that he was going to be on a rehab assignment. So from Monday to now, it's like he played one game in the Florida Complex League or whatever that is. Low A. He hit a home run. They immediately called him up to Triple A Gwinnett. They were like, skip all the steps in the middle. He's probably going to stay probably 2 weeks at the most. I think like maybe a week, week and a half, 2 weeks with the Stripers. Then he'll be back for good. And that's when this starts heating up. We like to see that. I mean, he was in the dugout for a couple of those Nationals games, just like smile as big as you've ever seen, just like looks so happy to be back. And brother, we are so happy that you are on your way back here pretty quickly. And we're going to keep it on baseball here. Georgia's last series of the year is against Texas A&M at home. So we're already one game into the series. We have 17 SEC wins, which we more than likely already have a top eight national seed locked up, being that we're number one in the RPI this year. And usually 18 wins is that benchmark to where you're going to get a national seed for the SEC. I think we get to 18 wins tonight. We won 10-6 last night under some kind of shaky pitching situation. Charlie Goldstein, hit up LinkedIn right now, brother. LinkedIn Premium, go sell car insurance. I mean, good Lord, you don't know how to pitch. Face three batters, walk, home run. Just immediately. Taken out of the game for JT Quinn, comes in and throws 3.2, great innings, gave up one home run, but no other. I mean, it's just, he throws strikes, he gets swing and misses. Charlie Goldstein is like an inside trader from like Tennessee or something like that, sent to destroy us from the inside out. I mean, just like, get off the team. Wes Johnson, please don't pitch him ever again. He's terrible. That's all I got. Game two tonight, 6 p.m. Throwing Brian Curley. Got some flamethrower going on the mound. Love watching him pitch. Dude's just like a cracked out animal out there. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but they were like, he had an in-game interview where he was like wearing the headset from the dugout against Vanderbilt. And some of the Vanderbilt guys, like the announcers, were talking to him. They were like, so like, what's all this stuff that you're doing like in the middle of the game? Because if you watch him, he is like tweaking out there. Like he is literally on crack. I really like music. I dance to everyone's walk-up song when they come up. Like, what is this guy on? He just throws 100 miles an hour, and that's pretty much it. Then we got, I believe, Leighton Finley taking the start tomorrow. So would love a sweep here for some, like, better seeding in the national seeds, but I think we're already good and locked up there.
Yeah, should be interesting. I think the Dogs are going to sweep last two games. I don't really have too much. I think A&M's really bad.
Yeah. Last thing that we have to talk about here is this PGA Championship. I know we've talked about it briefly, but this is one of the most abysmal major leaderboards I've seen in a long time. It's gotten some help today with Max Homa coming out of the gates pretty hot. So, I mean, we had the Jonathan Vegas was the leader after day one. He is currently still the leader. He's got a two-shot lead over a bunch of people that you and I have never heard of. Like, I mean, I watch a lot of golf, seen these names before, don't know too much about any of them. But Max Homa shot 64 today, had an early morning tee time, destroyed the back nine, shot a 30 on the back, 34 on the front. Just an overall great, great day. It's probably going to be the highest or the lowest round of the day. Other than that, we don't really have much. DeChambeau's still out there. He got to three under on the day. JJ Spawning at the top of another major leaderboard. Like, No, dude. Just stop.
Yeah. I wasn't able to watch yesterday, but looking at the leaderboard, board, it's pretty bad. I hope that a lot of these top name guys, get on a heater and slowly start moving up the board so that we have an interesting weekend golf. So yeah, that's all I got.
That's pretty much all we got here as a show. Just be sure to like, comment, subscribe, share us on social media, and that's going to be all she wrote for episode 13. See ya.